For the first time in America's history, the current president is prosecuting the previous president, Donald Trump.
Democrats are prosecuting President Trump for election interference while they are now interfering in the upcoming elections. So the Democrat strategy to win the next election is to put the top Republican candidate in prison.
Great strategy. This is Issues in Education. I'm Bob Boyd.
And I'm Jerry Boyd.
It's not just politics as usual. It's not just Republicans versus Democrats. It's freedom versus oppression and slavery. President Donald Trump and others, including former Mayor Rudy Giuliani, have been charged with RICO crimes, racketeering crimes, for simply contesting the 2020 election, which they believe was a stolen election. This is unprecedented in our history.
The previous president of the United States and his lawyers and legal advisors are being prosecuted for simply expressing their opinions. This is what happens in communist countries, where it's a crime to question the Marxist regime in power.
In a free democratic country, people are free to express their opinions, but the message being sent by the Democrat Party is that they will prosecute anyone who disagrees with them. President Trump has already spent over $60 million of his own money in legal fees. The Justice Department, under Joe Biden's leadership, is trying to jail the leading opposing candidate, and that will end free elections, end our election process, and end our constitutional republic to stay in power.
This has never, ever happened before in our history. Think of it, 4 indictments of the former president of the United States who is now running for president.
That's right. The Democratic Party may think that this is a great strategy to prosecute the opposing candidate on the Republican side, but it really shifts our constitutional republic to a tyrannical regime like communist nations.
President Trump said that the Atlanta, Georgia DA is charging him for challenging the 2020 election, threatening to imprison him. This is unbelievable.
The people see it's a fraud, like this horrible district attorney from essentially Atlanta, that's Fulton County. She said, basically, I don't have any right to challenge an election. Well, what about Stacey Abrams? What about Hillary Clinton? What about all of these Democrats that are still challenging my election? The same people that are saying he's challenging an election challenged my election. But basically, they're saying you don't have any right to challenge. And if you challenge an election, we're going to indict you and put you in jail. They've weaponized the DOJ and Biden and the whole group. Not only that, they put one of the DOJ top people into the Manhattan DA's office to run things. They don't even have a case against me. It's not even a case. Everyone says, even the Democrats say, you can't bring these cases. You have no case. The district attorney, Fannie Willis in Atlanta, she's saying Trump doesn't have the right to criticize an election. But Hillary Clinton goes crazy. Every time she talks, she says, he's not the president, Jimmy Carter said, he's not the president. I felt we won because the rallies are so big. You know, how are we losing this? How do you have a rally where you have from 50 to 100,000 people, many of them? You know, I did 7 a day for a couple of days. That's a lot. These are big rallies, too. And I didn't hold back. I didn't say, let's make them little, let's do abbreviations, right? Hillary called me up and conceded. Now, every time you see her on television, she's saying, like, challenging the election. She should be indicted. But that would mean also that Stacey Abrams in Georgia should be indicted, because she still thinks she won the election for governor. She still thinks that. She's never recanted. Democrats don't get indicted for things like that. They don't get impeached.
That's right. Democrats don't get indicted or impeached for questioning elections. So why is President Trump, who had massive rallies, up to 7 rallies in a day with 50 to 100,000 people in attendance, why is he being prosecuted? It's pretty obvious.
Our guest is Dr. Victor Davis Hanson, who is a historian and author of The Dying Citizen.
The Democrats are prosecuting President Trump for election interference while they are interfering with the upcoming election, right?
Yeah, that's the irony of the whole mess. They are prosecuting Donald Trump for election interference, and they're interfering in a way that's never happened in American history. With the 2024 election, they're going after the leading candidate and trying to emasculate him or neuter him and affect the way that people have a choice. They have a choice whether to vote for him or not vote for him, but not if he's in jail. And that seems to be the aim. They're not using precedent in the way that Hillary Clinton did not go to prison or was not jailed for hiring Christopher Steele and not reporting it.
So the Democrat strategy to win the next election is to put the top Republican candidate in prison. This is tyrannical.
That's right. The Fulton County DA who brought charges against President Trump is trying to convict him of such serious crimes, get this, that he could face up to 700 years in prison. That's incredible.
Do you know any figure in American criminal history that was the subject of four simultaneous indictments in four different jurisdictions in four different states? I don't. No mafia figure, no mass murderer. So it's a coordinated effort to destroy him. These prosecutors are very left-wing, and they're in left-wing jurisdictions, and they depend on left-wing grand juries and then eventually a left-wing trial jury. They're assuming that otherwise they don't have a good case. Their point is they're going to exhaust Donald Trump financially. They're going to gain him empathy but destroy him as a viable candidate. And they don't really care if we had a conversation 2 years from now whether all these charges will be thrown out on appeal. They know that these writs will be thrown out on appeal, but that's irrelevant to them because in the meantime, it's going to disrupt the election in a way that they think is conducive to their agenda.
So trumped up charges against Trump, pun intended, could be dismissed on appeal, but that's irrelevant to their strategy to eliminate him as a viable candidate.
The Democrats and the media, which have become one and the same, seem to get away with blatant lies like the Russian collusion hoax against Republicans, which turned out to be a total fabrication, a made-up lie.
Yeah, they get away with it like the Hunter Biden laptop. Lie after lie to stay in power. No apology, no correction. It makes the media simply a Democrat propaganda machine, right?
Yeah, they feel that they're morally superior to everybody. If they cared, they would have apologized for ruining the country for 22 months with the Russian collusion hoax. They didn't know. Or they would have said, you know what, it was ridiculous to try to tell you American people that a bunch of people in the Kremlin created a facsimile of Hunter Biden's laptop and very cleverly made false emails between Tony Bobulinski and Hunter Biden. But they didn't apologize for that farce. So they just move on to the next. And at some point, people are going to have to say stop. But you don't want to descend into their level of lawfare. But until they feel that somebody is going to stop them, otherwise, they just feel that the conservative or traditionalist movement are going to let this happen. They've got so much power with Silicon Valley money and corporate boardroom and media. So they've got a lot of resources at their disposal. But it should dispense for everybody the idea that the Democratic Party, as it's now constituted, is a liberal entity. It's not. It's a totalitarian regime that wants to suppress the First Amendment, Amendment, Fifth Amendment, you name it, all on the name of superior morality.
The Democrat Party, at one time, was considered a liberal political party. But now, with their incredible power and wealth, they've become a totalitarian regime that is suppressing the freedoms of our Constitution.
The media thinks that Trump is such a threat that they have to be partisan, therefore violating ethics, even the Constitution, and it's justified.
That's true by their own admission. Christian Amanpour said, the stakes are so high now with Donald Trump, we should just be partisan. Jorge Ramos said, we cannot report on Donald Trump in a non-biased fashion. We have to be partisan. They said that openly. And that was the new journalism, that Donald Trump represented an existential threat. So they felt that they no longer were bound by any code of honor or protocols of their profession because they had declared themselves more intelligent and more superior in a moral and ethical sense than their opponents. Then that gave them a blank check. What they didn't realize is that that has been the ancient argument of the left for centuries, that we have to have power and we have to violate the law both to get it and when we get it, because our aims and our ends are so noble that any means necessary to justify them are permissible.
By any means justifies their propaganda because they're taking away our freedoms for our own good. That means the end justifies the means. So Marxism is justified since they're more noble, smarter, morally superior, and know what's best for us peons who they want to suppress and take away our freedoms, especially freedom of choice in elections.
Yeah, they never think that there's going to be ever again a Republican Senate and House or president, or nobody would do to them what they're doing to other people. But according to their own standard of justice, Hillary Clinton would be in jail now for the 2016 Russian collusion, where she hid over $1 million and hired illegally foreign nationals and then lied and said it was a legal expense to destroy her opponent. And they never apologize. They never apologize, as I said, for Russian collusion, the laptop. They just move on, and they don't have a sense of shame or anything. They feel that everything is legitimate because their opponents are homophobic, transphobic, racist, nativist, you name it. And so then all means are necessary. Until they have to pay a price for that, I don't know what you do. But the big challenge now is they're setting a precedent with these indictments in Georgia and Jack Smith that you can't challenge or you can't object to the ballot count. Because if you do, you're into a conspiratorial racketeering mode. And your legal team cannot offer advice to you, because if they do, they're going to be disbarred or they're going to be bankrupt by legal costs.
That's right. Setting legal precedents that outlaws objections to the results of an election, that's a clear violation of the freedom of speech. And yet that's what Trump and his legal team are charged with. When you consider how elections have become almost farcical, changing ballot laws, using old names and addresses, even of dead people, extending the deadline way after the election.
Yeah, and they changed ballot laws, changed addresses, names didn't have to be accurate. They extended the deadline way after the election night. They rendered election night irrelevant. But according to what they say, that was all a conspiracy or a racketeering to deny the American people their vote. That's one of the things Donald Trump is charged with, that he tried to engage in activity to question a vote that denied our vote in a constitutional system. But that's exactly what Mark Zuckerberg and Bankman-Fried and George Soros were doing with the aid of the Democratic Party. And so I guess what I'm saying is they don't think that a Donald Trump or a Ron DeSantis would ever be elected. And if they were, would never appoint a conservative version of Merrick Garland. And if they did have Merrick Garland, they would never get a special prosecutor that would go after them. And they would never end up in a jury in Utah or West Virginia or Wyoming with a jury, quote unquote, of their peers. They don't think that anybody would do that to them. And yet that could happen, given the precedent that they're establishing.
It's true, Vic. It's possible that a conservative president could use the same standard on them that they've used against conservatives. It could happen that justice could prevail once again equally for everyone. But we've seen the Republican establishment try to remain above the fray, to lose nobly, rather than expose the corruption of their opposition.
Yeah, that the Republican conservative movement has a sense that they would rather lose nobly than win ugly. They haven't won 51% of the popular vote since 1988. And the last time they did, it was no coincidence that they unleashed Lee Atwater. When he got done with Mike Dukakis, nobody would vote for him. He destroyed Mike Dukakis' 17-point lead with the tank ad. He just was relentless. Boston Tea Party, Willie Horton ad, and show he turned Mike Dukakis into an effete, out-of-touch intellectual that was arrogant and condescending. And after that, the Republicans collectively said, well, we never want to win that way again. And the left was delighted. The left kept saying, you're racist, you're horrible. They didn't want to be called those names. So then we, on the conservative side, said, okay, we're going to run a Bob Dole, or we're going to run a John McCain, or Mitt Romney, and you can hijack a debate with Mitt Romney, we won't complain. Or you can call John McCain senile and say that he had an affair right before. Or you can say Bob Dole wasn't really a war hero, but he's just a grouchy old man. So if they want to win at this late stage, they're going to have to win ugly. And I don't mean illegally or dishonestly. They're just going to have to reply tit for tat. Donald Trump is getting empathy out of all of this. So his polls go up. There's a collective ripple that's starting to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And if it gets to the point where people say, you can call me any name you want, call me a racist, I don't care, call me a homophobe, call me a sexist, misogynist, it means nothing, you have no credibility, I'm just going to do what has to be done, they can break out of those self-created constraints and go to it, then I think the left will be in big trouble because they have an agenda that doesn't win 51% popular support.
If Republicans could unite and realize the Marxist left is united in a coordinated, relentless attack to imprison the most popular conservative leader, and it's not just him, it's all of us, he's just in their way, they could rally freedom-loving patriots throughout this nation.
That's right. The Marxist left is not backing down in their coordinated attacks on our basic freedoms in this war, spiritual cultural war for our future. As our founders said, if we don't hang together, We will hang separately.
Yeah, you don't want DeSantis and Trump fighting back and forth. They each have very good agendas, but they should be talking about the agenda. This is what we're going to do, America. And we're not going to just promise you like Joe Biden. We are going to build a wall. We are going to pressure Mexico. We will stop illegal immigration. And if it takes us to file federal conspiracy charges or racketeering against prosecutors at the state and local level that will not follow the laws that are written, we will do that. The Democrats don't want to talk about the issues. They just want to talk about Donald Trump. And the second thing they don't want to talk about, since FDR in 1945, we have never seen a president so debilitated. Joe Biden, I saw him today, he cannot finish a sentence that is coherent, or he slurs his words to such a degree you cannot understand him. He doesn't know where he's going to go. He says crazy things. He's at a beach and he must think there are people at another beach who had everything destroyed and we don't know how many people were killed. And yet, when they ask him about Maui, he says no comment. So I don't know if he's able to finish the next 17 months, but the left will do almost anything to talk about Trump or indict him, because he has, in their mind, at least finish his term. Otherwise, they have Kamala Harris, and that would be a disaster. And yet, if these indictments, and we're not talking about a Bill Clinton indictment, we're not talking about a Donald Trump indictment, we're not talking about a possible Richard Nixon indictment before he resigned, we're talking about Joe Biden's indictment, something that's spelled out in the Constitution, high crimes, misdemeanors, i.e. bribery and treason. If you have Tony Bobulinski and Devin Archer, and you have that laptop where Hunter talks about the big guy, Mr. 10%, Joe's taking half my income, then you've got people in Ukraine saying we've got him on tape, then you have IRS whistleblowers, and all of these start to converge with a Republican House, which they never counted on, then you could see people going to Joe Biden and saying, look, it looks like your family got several million dollars and they had no expertise. And if that's true, they would be in big trouble. So they do not want that to happen. And that's why they were very worried when the Republicans took the House. They were very worried about the Ukraine war that brought attention to prior Biden activity with Ukraine. Joe Biden weaponized Merrick Garland in response, and they went after Donald Trump. So that's what these indictments were about, and that's why Merrick Garland would risk his entire reputation. Think of it. He's going to go down in history as an attorney general who appointed a special counsel, appeased, contorted, did anything he could to get Hunter Biden off to such an egregious degree that a judge had to step in and say, I've never seen anything like this. So why would he do that? Everybody is outraged. Even people on the left said, I can't believe he did it. This is so blunt and blatant. So they are desperate. And he did that because he was scared stiff that Joe Biden would be taken out with these charges. And another thing they're very afraid of is there's something strange about Hunter Biden. If I went back and read the whole published laptop email. He says in there, he's angry at his father. And he says, unlike my father who takes half my income and I even pay his bills. He says that. And so why with all that scrutiny would he start to paint by numbers crude pictures that he hawks to people who want access to the president, and then the names are revealed? He is so reckless, or he's so angry, that I think the Bidens are very afraid of him, that he's a live wire, that he could say things. This is a man who left his gun in a bin next to a school that was illegally registered and has lost two laptops with incriminating evidence. And I think they're scared stiff of him. So they've got a lot of exposure with the Hunter Biden and the Biden family consortium. And they want to get Joe over the finish line and then open it up, I think, to a primary, and maybe Gavin Newsom will come in, and that solves a lot of problems. They still stay in power. Joe's not there. The Bidens can go drift off and beg for a pardon from Gavin Newsom if he were to be elected, and there's no Kamala Harris problem.
Many Americans are oblivious to the crucial times we're living in. We have a president who could be indicted for treason and put in prison. His crimes are not like the lightweight indictments that Trump is charged with for simply objecting to the election results.
Our current president is liable for crimes clearly spelled out in our Constitution. High crimes like bribery and treason. The Biden crime family got millions of dollars from foreign nations. What's the definition of bribery and treason, if not that?
That's it. But the Democrats love to say that Donald Trump is not above the law, and yet let that be applied to Joe Biden. capitalism is better than socialism, that all people are created equal in God's sight.
No more confusion of what is a man and a woman. No more forced mask mandates. No more global warming and climate change. No more open borders. Let's bring back common sense. Okay, Victor Davis Hanson, what's your conclusion?
We have a geographical element to a divided country now, with people moving to the red state and the complete failure of the blue state paradigm in Portland, in Seattle, in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, in Minneapolis. We have a bicoastal elite who feels that their transgendered critical race theory, New Green Deal, open border agenda doesn't appeal to anybody. And they feel that they can rely on the institutions of which they control. They control the DOJ, the CIA, the FBI, Hollywood, popular culture, corporate boardrooms, Silicon Valley, media, traditional and new. And they feel that they can manipulate public opinion and communications to such a degree that they'll get this agenda. But they're scared because they understand that there's starting to be a popular pushback. And the more that they egg it on and the more that they incite people, and they are inciting people with the blatantness of their agendas, I think they're going to be in big trouble. But if the Republicans can unite behind a leader that gets even and doesn't get mad, I don't know if that'll be Trump or DeSantis, and has an agenda, and they can win the Senate, and I think they can, then you're going to see a revolution in 2024 if they're successful. And that's what terrifies the left. The next president, if he's a Republican, these are not going to be people that say, you know what, I really want to follow in the Bob Dole, John McCain, Mitt Romney, Bush tradition. The next president, if he's a Republican, is going to say, these are not Democrats. These are Jacobins. This is a revolution. They're trying to dismantle the United States as we knew it, and I'm not going to let that happen. That's where we are politically and socially, culturally. Look at what Al Gore challenged the 2000 election after it had been certified. 2004, Barbara Boxer, 32 Democrats tried to stop the certification of Ohio electors and delayed the counting. First time since the 19th century. All of that, according to Jack Smith or Fannie Willis, would be racketeering or conspiracy to try to disrupt the election process. These prosecutors are very left-wing, and they're in left-wing jurisdictions, and they depend on left-wing grand juries and then eventually a left-wing trial jury. They're assuming that otherwise they don't have a good case. They're going to exhaust Donald Trump financially. They're going to gain him empathy but destroy him as a viable candidate. And they don't really care if they're 2 years, whether all these charges will be thrown out on appeal. They are prosecuting Donald Trump for election interference, and they're interfering in a way that's never happened in American history. With the 2024 election, they're going after the leading candidate and affect the way that people have a choice. They have a choice whether to vote for him or not vote for him, but not if he's in jail. And that seems to be the aim.
Our guest has been Victor Davis Hanson, historian and author of The Dying Citizen. There's starting to be a popular uprising in this nation.
The next president, if he's a Republican, will have to say there is a Marxist revolution underway that will destroy the freedoms that we have, the freedom of speech and assembly, and most important, the freedom to worship God as sovereign over this nation. Christ isn't on the ballot, but freedom to worship him is as never before. Daniel Webster said, get this, God grants liberty only to those who love it and are always ready to guard it and defend it. That's a great quote.
Thomas Jefferson said, if ever there was a holy war, it was that which saved our liberties and gave us independence.
That's it. Jefferson also said, timid men prefer the calm of despotism to the boisterous sea of liberty. And they paid everything for us to have the freedom that we have. When the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, they thought they would see a weak America surrender with panic after losing our Pacific Fleet. But the Japanese commander Mitsuo Fushida was astonished at how quickly the American sailors rallied and returned fire for the attacking Japanese.
Within minutes, our valiant sailors leapt to their battle stations and filled the sky with flak.
And then the Japanese commander, Admiral Isuroku Yamamoto, famously fretted, I fear we have awakened a sleeping giant, and filled him with a terrible resolve. That's a great quote. We have awakened a sleeping giant and filled him with a terrible resolve. He was right. Most Japanese saw Americans as soft and decadent, but Yamamoto knew the American spirit would be awakened and filled with a fury that would lead to victory over the Japanese, who would surrender after seeing their cities destroyed. This nation has an indomitable spirit that needs to be awakened once again. The sleeping giant is waking up.
Christians need to really intercede as never before. We need to pray for this nation as never before. If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1852, Marxism in America, Part 1. That's number 1852, Marxism in America, Part 1. The CD also includes next week's program, Part 2. And you can order a CD copy of this program from our website. Our website is issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. And please give us a call at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000. From Galatians 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened with a yoke of slavery. For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.